22, verses 7 through 10. We're reading from the King James Version, Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 through 10. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son.
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. To all the fathers among us this morning, happy Father's Day. I hope that you enjoy your day with your children, with your wives, as we have this day set aside to celebrate fathers. I had Peyton, our sermon really has nothing really to do with Father's Day today, but I had Peyton read that verse for a particular reason. A friend of mine posted something on Facebook yesterday that got me to thinking about what he had to say. And to our fathers this morning, let me say this before we get to our sermon. We need more fathers like Abraham. We need more fathers that are going to place God, that are going to love God more than they love their families, more than they love their own son. Abraham showed that. And there in Genesis chapter 22, and we see there specifically in verses 7 through 10, God had told Abraham to sacrifice his son. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham counted unto God for righteousness and knew within his heart that God had made a promise. And if God had told him to kill Isaac, to sacrifice Isaac, that he would again raise him from the dead. But we see there Abraham following the commands of God, even if it was going to cost him his son. Men, fathers this morning, we need more fathers like Abraham. My hope and my prayer for you is that you're the father that God has called upon you to be, that you are the spiritual leader within your home as God has called upon you to be. Let us be fathers as Abraham was to his children. The title of our sermon this morning has to do with Jesus. Christ, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We talked a little bit about Jesus Christ in our Bible class hour this morning and how he is our high priest and how he was uniquely qualified to be our high priest. As we consider our lesson this morning, there are certain people that enter the narrative of Bible history, they enter the narrative of Scripture, and they leave as quickly as they enter. We're then often left to wonder what was their purpose, or even if there was a purpose for their being even mentioned. The story of the Bible is simply this. As we look at the Bible in a nutshell, so to speak, as a whole, the salvation of man through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. That's the story of the Bible. From man's sin in the garden to the close of the Revelation, we are reading one continuous story. Thus, every person who comes onto the scene is there for a purpose, even those whose contribution lasts just a few verses as we read Scripture. There's no truer case than in the case of Melchizedek. In Genesis chapter 14, we see all there that we know about him until a veiled, unexplained reference in the Psalms. In Psalm 110 and verse 4, we read this concerning Melchizedek. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, of course, without reading the New Testament, you're not going to understand what Psalm 110 and verse 4 is in reference to. That is a messianic psalm. At that particular point, with such little information, the Jews set out to discover his place in the plan. Some rabbinic literature suggested that Melchizedek was another name for Shem, the son of Noah. And the reason for this speculation was to maintain a genealogical line all the way back to Adam. Others taught that Melchizedek would become a celestial being who would ultimately become the judge of all the earth. The Essenes taught this, and they made him comparable to Michael the archangel. The psalmist refers to Melchizedek, his reference to Melchizedek was the primary reason for their perceived need to make sense of the references to him. The reason that they did not immediately see this promise as messianic is because it was not traditionally believed that the Messiah would be both priest and king. Obviously, they should have seen it. Exodus 19 and verse 6, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Exodus 19 and verse 6. Now, it was not until the time in which the New Testament was written that we see the real purpose for Melchizedek's place in the plan, Scripture. Now that we have all the revelation before us, now that we have all the Scripture given to us, let's make the connection and let's study this explanation of what it means for Christ to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In reality, we will study the unique likeness of these two men and what those likenesses mean. Number one this morning, Christ, a priest after the order of Melchizedek, that means that both had a mysterious beginning and no ending. As we look at Melchizedek, let's turn to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Let's look together at verses 18 through 20. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, that is Abram, gave him tithes of all." Melchizedek abruptly appears here, and he's mentioned again, as we mentioned a moment ago, in Psalm 110 and verse 4. However, we know nothing of his birth, which appears to be what the Hebrew writer was referencing in Hebrews 7 and verse 3, where we read, "Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually." Now, as we study this phraseology, the Roman world considered one who was without father as one for whom there was no record of his parents in the civil documents. The Jewish world, on the other hand, considered one not found in the genealogies to be one without mother or father. The emphasis was obviously a reference to the connection of Melchizedek to Jewish lineage or to Aaron's priesthood. But then as we continue to read there, all of a sudden, there is no more Melchizedek. We don't read of him any longer. He left Scripture just as quickly as he entered. We know that his priesthood had to come to an end. He was a man after all. He had to have died at some point, but we don't know when that happened. And so he had a mysterious beginning. He had a mysterious ending. Christ's beginning was not traditional either, was it? His priesthood, Jesus, concerning him, he was born of a virgin. There was a part of Christ that had no earthly or Jewish lineage, and his priesthood had no end. Hebrews 7, 15 through 26. He is to reign as priest. He is to be our high priest forever. Just as Melchizedek had a mysterious beginning and no ending, as it was with Christ, as he was brought forth of a virgin. And his kingdom or his priesthood has no end. Number two, a priest at the order of Melchizedek was Christ, and both were priests apart from the law of Moses. Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God long before the law of Moses was established. We know that because of his contemporaries. He was there with Abraham. At this point, Abram did not yet have a son. And so we see him being a priest before even the law of Moses was established. He was a priest separate and apart from the law of Moses, just as Christ was. Christ was a priest and not from the Levitical tribe. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's notice together verses 12 through 14. Hebrews 7, 12 through 14. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. As Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God, separate and apart from the law of Moses, so was Christ. You see, under the Mosaic law, only those from the tribe of Levi and as a direct descendant from Aaron were able to serve as priests. And yet the Hebrews writer tells us here that as Christ is our priest, and yet the law mentioned nothing of Judah concerning priesthood. No one out of Judah ever had anything to do with the things of the tabernacle or the things of the temple. That was upon the Levites. And yet we know, as he fulfills that role, that Christ is our priest. Just as Melchizedek was a priest as well, we see as Christ was a priest after that order, number three, both are superior to the Levitical priesthood. Notice again in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, and he gave him tithes of all, that being Abram giving tithes. He paid, Abram did, to Melchizedek. Now, let me share a quote with you concerning this particular event. The quote reads, of his own free will, he had, for motives of pure benevolence, engaged in an enterprise which resulted in the overthrow of four kings and the deliverance of five, that is, Abraham, of his own free will and benevolence. He was returning to his home, covered with glory and the spoils of victory. But at this moment, when raised above his fellow men in deed of prowess and works of mercy, he encounters the venerable form of the king of Salem, or Jerusalem, as it were, and at the height of his exaltation, acknowledged one greater than him. The Hebrews writer makes note that tithes are only paid to those who are superior. And in the Levitical priesthood, tithes were paid based on a familial relationship. Now, both of these realities made Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek all the more significant. Look at Hebrews 7, 4 and 5. Hebrews 7, verses 4 and 5. Now consider how great this man was, Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So in a manner of speaking, by Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek, the Levitical priesthood paid tithes to Melchizedek. And so Melchizedek was greater or superior to the Levitical priesthood. The conclusion was obvious, verses 9 and 10 of Hebrews chapter 7. Let's look at that together. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. You see? For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And so as Melchizedek was superior to the Levitical priesthood, so is Christ. He is the only begotten of the God. The Levites couldn't say that, of God. Therefore, better than Levi. There were many priests because people die, but Christ would never die. That is, he would rise from the grave. Christ was made a priest according to an oath from Jehovah, and Christ has an unchangeable priesthood. Levitical priesthood has been done away. Friends, we see that as he is the only begotten of God, and thus better than Levi, just as Melchizedek was superior, so is Christ. Number four, we see that as Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, that both were kings, or kings, of righteousness and peace. You see, Melchizedek was a king from Salem, or Jerusalem, Hebrews 7, 1 and 2. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from slaughter of the kings and blessed him, whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. You see the connection. Righteousness and peace accompanied the reign of Melchizedek. This makes his reign as king stand in stark contrast to those who served in such roles in the Jewish world. You go back and you look through the life of Saul and David and Solomon, and then of the split kingdom. Very seldom do you find a man that could be called righteous. Even David, a man after God's own heart, who ruled in Jerusalem, who ruled in Israel for 40 years. You could not say that his entire reign was a reign of righteousness. You could not say that of Solomon. And you sure could not say that of the kings of the split kingdom. But Melchizedek's reign, as it is said of him, his very name and the very place that he dwelt and ruled, he was a king of righteousness and a king of peace. This makes his reign as a king stand in that contrast to the Jewish world and to the world in which they lived during the time of the Hebrews writer. Friends, perhaps it was no coincidence that Abraham met Melchizedek at this time. Peace and righteousness had just won the day, and then they met the man who represents righteousness and peace on earth. Christ is the King of peace and the King of righteousness. We read Isaiah 9 and verse 6 in Bible class this morning. We noticed the names briefly that were given there to the Messiah. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. And the last name is Prince of Peace. His kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is a kingdom of righteousness and peace. Keeping a finger there in Hebrews, let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Notice with me verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Notice this. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The connection of these two ideas speaks to the heart of both the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament gospel system. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice with me verses 18 and 19. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That was the plan of God, to establish His kingdom under the reign of Christ. And as He is our High Priest, He is also our King of righteousness and our King of peace. In Ephesians 2, 14 through 16, we read, For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting the death to death, the enmity. Enmity, friends, speaking of the law of Moses, tearing down that middle wall of partition, the veil has been removed. We are now in the church, in the Lord's kingdom, and so in the holy place, the most holy place. God has torn down that wall. curtain has been removed. And we, Jews and Gentiles alike, Roman, Greek, slave and free, are able to call Christ our Savior and God our Father. Because Christ is a priest of the order of Melchizedek and a king of righteousness and peace. In Christ, Psalm 85 and verse 10, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. They go hand in hand. Christ is indeed a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And through Him, as our high priest, having suffered and died upon the cross for the remission of our sins, friends, we have a hope that none other can boast. We have a hope in Christ. As Christians, that one day we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And it's all because Christ is indeed a priest of the order of Melchizedek. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities. For he suffered and was tempted in all points like as we are. He was tempted with pride of life. He was tempted with the lust of the eyes. He was tempted with the lust of the flesh. Friends, we're tempted with those things. We face those temptations each and every day. But Christ did so without sin, and as such, He was able to be our perfect sacrifice. As a perfect man sinned in the garden, a perfect man had to die upon the cross. That man was Jesus Christ. And as He died upon the cross and He was raised again the third day, friends, He became our high priest. A priest, as it were, after the order of Melchizedek. Having a mysterious beginning and no ending. Being a king of righteousness and peace, friends, that king of righteousness and peace extends to you an invitation this morning. That high priest that is able to stand before God and say to God, "I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what it's like to live upon that earth." He is your mediator. He is the one that goes before God on your behalf. Friends, He died for you. He shed His life's blood. So that if you would obey, you could have remission of sin. Friend, are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's no better time than now. The water is ready. We have garments in which you can put on. There's no reason, friends, no reason whatsoever that you should have to leave here today without obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel that you're not quite ready. Friends, let us know. Allow us to sit down and study the Bible with you so that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ died for you. Would you be baptized this morning for the remission of your sin? Having believed upon Him, repented, and confessed Him before men, we will gladly immerse you in water, coming in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. So that your sins will be washed away. Would you do that this morning? Friend, are you here having done that? Your high priest awaits if you have gone back to the world. He has already made the sacrifice for you. He will forgive you, friend, of your sin if you will but ask. If you will but repent and give your life back to Him. Friends, would you come? Would you come to the priest? Ask the order of Melchizedek, who we call our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you be His this morning, or would you be restored to Him? Or friends, maybe you just need the prayers of the church. We ask that you come now, while we stand and while we sing.